Thank you for staying. It is my pleasure to introduce you to two colleagues of mine. They're going to present the work we've done at DC in AI for meetings. They're the ones who have worked on it, and they're going to tell us about the three parts that make it.
Okay, thank you, Saul. So hello, everyone. My name is Razvan. I work for 8x8 in the Jitsi team, together with Tudor here and Saul there. Even though he's not mentioned in the slides, he's overseeing us, kind of like a guardian angel of sorts sometimes. And we're going to talk to you about AI for meetings. So first and foremost, we are currently living in an AI gold rush. Obviously, who sells the shovels gets the most money. And also, there's like maybe the danger of trying to find like some use cases which are not very... So lots of people try to invent stuff to do with AI. We've identified like the use cases, the most used, the most useful things, let's put it this way. For us, for meetings, in our opinion, it's this. And obviously, for having them, you need transcriptions. Otherwise, you won't be able to do summaries or extract action points, do sentiment analysis, or whatever. We've been doing, we've been using the Google API since 2017 to do captions, live captions. But we weren't happy with the quality of the results. So the accuracy was pretty crappy. So in 2023, OpenAI released Whisper in 2022. In early to 2023, we also created the POC, making Whisper perform in real time. What were the challenges here? We needed Whisper to transcribe a stream, not a file, because Whisper was built to transcribe an entire file. It needed to do it in real time, and it also needed to have good accuracy. How did we accomplish this? I'm going to try to speed up because, yeah, we have quite a lot of ground to cover. We have a client who joins the meeting, opens a WebSocket connection to our server, and starts pushing audio chunks. You see it on the upper left corner. Then we have like Celero VAD, which is a voice activity detector, which drops all the audio chunks which do not contain any voice. And then all these chunks get added to a buffer. At one point, we add a header to that buffer, transform it into a normal WAV file, and then feed it to Whisper for transcription. This obviously has a problem because the buffer keeps growing and growing, and you need to cut the bastard. We do it when we do it. So basically, we return two types of transcriptions back from the server: an intermediary, which hasn't solidified yet, which is still prone to changing, and the final transcription, where we are almost sure that that is the final one. How do we do that? We do that by analyzing the returned results from Whisper, which, as you can see on the lower, that's basically on the line above is the buffer, and the one do an emergency cut, and we search for the biggest gap between words, and we cut there. And this kind of works good, but it still lacks one of the challenges there, the accuracy part, because obviously if you cut the buffer, then you will lack context again. So what? I don't know if you know it, but Whisper allows you to provide an initial prompt. You could use that to put some acronyms in there. So if you wanted to guess the proper terms, and it will help you. But you can also feed the previous final transcriptions, so it knows how to translate, or you encourage it to transcribe in a certain way. And this is what we do. Each time there's a final for a meeting, so the finals from more participants, we feed those finals into the initial prompt. And this is also limited to, I think, 4,000 and something tokens. And it gives it the context for the transcription. And that's it. That's pretty much it. And these are the captions. I still have like a minute left, I guess, right? Maybe. Yeah. And I don't know if you can see it, let me, no, oh, here it is. This is how it works. So as you can see, this is pretty fast. It could be faster, but we are pretty pleased with it. So yeah, and then this gets, let me start the presentation again. Yeah, and close the other stuff. Oh, what did I do? And everything you see here gets fed to an LLM. And here, Tudor is going to talk to you about this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Razvan. Let me restart a bit.
Yeah, let's.
Okay, just a sec.
Yeah, you should close that maybe. Just close the meeting.
Oh, it's in a browser, sorry. What browser do you use?
Yeah, just Chrome?
Yeah, it's Chrome. Just close the browser. Does it close it?
No, it's not closing. Oh, it's a fucking alert. The alert wasn't showing here, so
yeah.
I was confused a bit. All right. All right, so we're going to chat a bit about summarization. And 2 years ago, when we started to develop Skynet, we had to find ways to enhance our meeting-related products, which were most of all were based on Jitsi Meet. And we had two main considerations, which one of those was the fact that, as Razvan mentioned, we had the transcription at our disposal, which was already like a core feature in Jitsi Meet. And the other one was the fact that we were in, like in an experimental stage where we were experimenting with LLMs. We weren't sure where we would be going, and the resources that we had allocated were very low. So basically, all the testing that we did was on our Macs. And this is why we thought that providing summarization would be like a good, efficient, low-cost feature. And this is also because of the fact that you don't really need like a big model to summarize things correctly. You can get away with running like a 8 billion llama model, for example, and you would get like decent results. And in the end, for example, today we still run an 8 billion llama model. We didn't feel like the need to change it. Just a few, a quick overview on how summarization can be achieved and how we implemented it. So the first method would be like the basic prompt. So in this case, you just take the whole text that you want to summarize, you add it like a prompt to summarize and send everything to the LLM, and you're getting a result back. Now, this can be, most of the time it's going to work, but once you're dealing with larger payloads, and if your models are not maybe, do not have like a large enough context window, you run into this issue where the whole payload will exceed the context window of the model. So in that case, you kind of need to do the like a secondary approach, which is what we've implemented through the MapReduce method. And this basically works by splitting the whole initial text into equal chunks and sending each of those chunks to the LLM to be summarized separately. And at the end, you're going to just have like intermediary summary, which you mesh together and send for a final step to the LLM. Well, this might not be very efficient. There's like a third way, but the presentation should be shorter than I initially thought, so I'm going to skip that. So on to some architectural considerations. So the way we implemented Skynet is, so whenever you're requesting a summary or action items for that matter, you're going to get back a job ID. So this job ID is due to the fact that we, behind the scenes, we keep like a Redis queue. And so we keep this Redis queue, and we basically rely upon the clients to implement some sort of long polling mechanism in order to query for the results. And there are several reasons why we did this. And the most important is the fact that, as I was mentioning, we initially started to run on restricted resources. I mean, not even now, we're still running like on 2 810 GPUs, actually 3 810 GPUs. So they're not like the top of the line GPUs. So running on restricted resources, as you may know, the lower specs, the lower specs hardware you have, the higher number of the lower number of requests you can process. So this, of course, leads to incoming requests being delayed in being executed. And this is just a problem that's being aggravated whenever you're encountering larger payloads. And you would be forcing like client timeouts, and you'd be facing bottlenecks on your side. There's also the aspect of redundancy. So whenever you're dealing with this stuff, you kind of need to think about node failures, which is something that has often happened in our cases. So this might be even due to model hallucinating and going on infinitely, and you'd have to like stop it forcibly at some point. Or maybe you just introduced a bug, or maybe just the library that you're running your model on is just crashing in some place. And this is why you kind of need some way of being able to rerun the jobs that have failed, or the jobs that have not been processed but were taken for processing on the failing nodes, and to avoid the client retry mechanisms. And we also had like recurrent big spikes of usage due to rush hours on meetings. So you can see in this graph, so there are like about 300-400 requests per minute during a 20 minutes time span. And this was also something that we had to consider when we designed this model. Now on to some quick comparison on Llama CPP versus VLLM. We initially started working with Llama CPP because we were mainly experimenting on our local hardware, on our Macs, and this was like a very useful tool because it was very optimized to work on various architectures, various CPU architectures. And it also provides a lot of quantizations. It can also provide some quantizations that allow you to run your models onto lower-end hardware like a phone or a tablet. On the other hand, VLLM does the opposite. So it does like a heavy optimization for the GPU use case. So it's like if you want to go serious about this stuff, you're going to have to switch to VLLM, which is what we did. Oh, was I on the... Okay. And besides that, there's also the major aspect of dynamic batching, which VLM offers and Llama doesn't. And what this means is the fact that you're gonna take advantage of the full context window of a model, because you're basically running requests in parallel as long as it fits the whole context window of the model. And you can see this in action here. So on the left side we have Skynet, which runs 10 requests in parallel, and after 25 seconds it gets like, this is like emulating the long polling use case, but it only does it like once. It's just doing a request at the end in order to check for the results. And most of the requests are, I mean, five of these already have above 50K characters, so they're not like small payloads, and you're still getting all the results in time. Now, if you were to do this sequentially, you wouldn't be able to achieve this timing, at least not on this setup. So we, as I mentioned, we were running on an 810 GPU with a quantized Intel Llama 3.1 for the 8 billion. And some numbers, we've switched recently to Grafana from Wavefront, so we only have numbers starting September, and we've processed since then about 1.5 million summaries and action items. So This is it. If you want to check out our project, this is the URL. Thank you. And if you have any questions.
This project here has both the transcriber and the LLM, so they reside in the both. You can, it's a modulet, as Saul here puts it, so you can enable either one or the other functionality or both at the same time. So yeah, please check it out. And,
do we have questions?
And all the processing is local, right?
The processing.
Not going to OpenAI.
No, nothing is going to OpenAI.
No, everything is self-hosted. I mean, you can configure it to go to OpenAI or Azure, but this is something that you're not going to do. It's a problem.
Mike.
As I was saying, so you can configure it to run to either your local sets, your self-hosted model, or you can configure it to run through OpenAI or Azure if you want, if you'd like. Anything
any
else?
Other questions?
No. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.